إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the du'as that are mentioned in the Quran upon the tongues of the prophets are the greatest of du'as. And in today's first half of our khutbah, I will mention two du'as that I believe every single one of us should not just memorize but use frequently. All of us know these du'as. They are Quranic du'as on the tongues of the prophets of Allah. And so today we will inshaAllah ta'ala remind ourselves of the meanings and the power of two phrases from the tongues of two prophets. The first of them is the dua of the Prophet Ibrahim, and the second is the dua of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. And both of these duas were said at times of great difficulty, at times of distress, when it appeared that there was no hope left. What dua did the Prophet say when all hope of this world was cut off? We learn in the Quran and in the Sunnah the du'as of these two prophets. As for the du'a of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is mentioned in the Quran upon the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we know from the hadith that the Prophet Ibrahim used it before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quran mentions that when the Sahaba were gathered by, were surrounded by the Ahzab, by the 10,000 strong around Medina, and they really could not fight 10,000 strong. What did they say? Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. The people, meaning the righteous people, are those who, when mankind gathered to attack them, and mankind told them, or other people told them, aren't you terrified? Aren't you scared? What was the phrase that came to the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba? حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. This was the dua. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And Ibn Abbas narrated that when the Prophet Ibrahim was about to be thrown into that fire. What fire is this? This is the fire of Namrud. This is the fire that for 3 days and three nights, it was made hotter and hotter. The fire that they wanted to punish Ibrahim with when they accused him of destroying their idols. And instead of responding back, he mocked them and said, no, no, must be the other idols who killed the biggest one. They must have been jealous of him. So this young boy Ibrahim, probably 14, 15 years old, this young boy Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we learn from the tradition, he was the only Muslim on earth at the time. There was no other Muslim other than him at that time. And he believes in Allah and he rejects the idols. So when these evil people, when these mighty kings surround him and they tell him, unless you apologize and come back to our way, we will kill you in this manner. And they torture him for 3 days. And then they make this fire. And before they throw him in, what does he say? Ibn Abbas said, when Ibrahim was about to be thrown into the fire, he said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. This is the dua of Ibrahim. And Ibn Abbas said, and this was also the dua of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he was surrounded by the Ahzab. When all of the armies had gathered, this was the dua that came to the tongue of our Prophet ﷺ. So what is this dua? And what does it mean? Why is this dua so powerful? Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, the singular. Hasbuna is the plural. We should all know hasbi, if we are alone and we say it, it's hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. And if we're saying it with a group or a gathering, hasbuna, rather than hasbi, it'll become hasbuna Allah wa ni'mal wakil. And you may add, if you want, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir, but the minimum is hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. What does this mean? And why is this dua so powerful? And why was it so effective in the lives of these prophets? The phrase hasbi Allah means Allah is sufficient for me. I don't need anybody else. Hasbi Allah. I only need Allah. I don't need anyone else. Wa ni'mal wakil. And what a perfect wakil here means not just protector, but someone whom I delegate my affairs to. Someone who will take charge of what I need to be done. Hasbi Allah. I only need Allah. Wa ni'mal wakil. And what a beautiful protector and wakil he is. What does this dua mean? Why is it so powerful? When you say hasbi Allah, you can only say hasbi Allah when you know who is Allah. And then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A heart that doesn't have iman, a heart that is ignorant of Allah, cannot say hasbi Allah. When you say hasbi Allah, you are affirming the power of Allah, the love of Allah, the fact that Allah knows who you are, what you're doing, how much you need Him. When you say hasbi Allah, you are saying, oh Allah, I recognize that when you decide to do something, nobody can come between you and your will. There is no strength, there is no power other than you. When you say hasbi Allah, you say, I don't care who is against me. If Allah is on my side, that's all that I need. So hasbi Allah is something that is coming from the heart, and it is affirming the power and the protection and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say hasbi Allah, you automatically imply, who needs anybody other than Allah? He who has Allah doesn't need anybody else. And he who has everything except for Allah has nothing. He who has Allah does not need anyone else. And he who has everything other than Allah, in reality he has nothing. So when you say hasbi Allah, you are affirming the perfection of Allah, the love of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, the concern of Allah. You are saying that if Allah Azza wa Jal helps me, then no one else can ever get in between him and his help. And when you say hasbi Allah, you are also affirming your own iman in Allah. Not only that Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect, but you recognize that. Imagine the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine surrounded by a city, an army. The mightiest king alive is in front of him, threatening him, torturing him. He's a 15-year-old kid. There's that fire that's been put for 3 days and three nights. Not a single human being in the world, his own father, is on the side of the prosecution. Just imagine. Not a single soul in the world to help him. Yet what does he know? Allah will protect me. Hasbi Allah. Oh Allah, you are in charge of taking care of these mighty armies. Oh Allah, I turn to you. You will deal with this fire. You will take charge of this whole world that has gathered against me. Hasbi Allah. I only need Allah. I don't need anybody else. So what happens? When Ibrahim is thrown into that fire, the fire itself becomes a garden for him. A garden, a pleasant walk in the park. It becomes beautiful, fragrant, green, cool. This is what happens when you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say hasbi Allah, you affirm the power of Allah and you affirm, oh Allah, I believe in your power. I believe in your might. I believe that you are the one who is Rahman and Rahim and Sami' and Alim and Quddus and Malik. Oh Allah, you are the real Malik. So when you say hasbi Allah, you can only say it when it's coming from the depths of your heart. When you understand who is Allah and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Allah tells us in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever truly trusts in Allah, Allah will take care of him. Allah Azza wa Jal is enough for him. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever truly trusts in Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will make an escape route for him, will make a passage of exit for him, and Allah will provide for him in a manner that he did not expect. Allah will take care of him in a manner that he did not expect. Meaning, if you truly put your trust in Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of your calamity, will deal with your distress, will take charge of defeating your enemies in ways you don't expect. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, this is the dua that we say when we are faced with major calamity, major stress, when we have major, here we have the enemies of Islam physically attacking. There is no protection other than Allah's protection. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasbi Allah. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ means, and what a beautiful, what a perfect, what a majestic wakil. What is a wakil? A wakil is somebody, in Arabic you call sometimes a lawyer is a wakil. Right, even in Urdu we call the wakil is a lawyer. Why? Because when you hire a wakil, when you have a wakil, what do? You sit down and you let the wakil do the business for you. You hire the best wakil, you hire the best lawyer, this is in our terms the lawyer, and if you really hire a good lawyer, you literally sit down and he'll do the job for you. He'll defend you. He'll make sure that the judge treats you in the manner you deserve. That's what the wakil we call. But Allah Azza wa Jal isn't just a wakil. He is al-wakil. Al-wakil means you trust him for everything. You delegate everything to him. That Allah will take care of this. He is the al-wakil. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. And what a beautiful, what a majestic, what a powerful wakil he is. Ni'ma here is a praise of Allah and it's also an affirmation. Oh Allah, you are the best wakil. There is no wakil like you. And so when you say, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, so Allah Azza wa Jal will become sufficient for you. And Allah Azza wa Jal will do what needs to be done. This is what wakil. You are basically saying, oh Allah, I can't do it. I can't do it, O Allah. I need you. حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. I put you in charge, O Allah, and you are enough for the job. You are enough to take care of me because you are my Rabb. You are the Rahman and the Rahim. You are the Malik. So, O Allah, you are the one to deal with this affair. And this is exactly what happened in the lives of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and also in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've all done this story in detail in our seerah lessons. When the battle of Ahzab took place and 10,000 strong were surrounding Medina and there were barely 1,500 Sahaba, there's no way they could physically fight against 10,000. 10,000 armed men, and they cut off the supplies for 1 month. They cut off the supplies. How long can you last? The people were beginning to eat vegetables, the leaves of the trees. They had nothing to eat. They're starving. They haven't had a proper meal for weeks. How long can the siege last? What is going to happen? They cannot fight. The Quraysh are outside with all of their allies, 10,000 strong. They cut off all of the food supplies, all of the caravans. How long can this go on? So they say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And what happens? What happens? An army from the heavens comes. And 10,000 strong are rerouted, fled helter skelter overnight. Because Allah Azza wa Jal sent, as he said, وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. He sent an army, you did not see it. The wind began to blow, the thunderstorm, a tornado in the middle of the desert, and the sand was so severe and hard that they all had to flee, 10,000 strong. Can you imagine? An army of 10,000 was destroyed without one sword being unsheathed. Think about that. Without one sword being unsheathed. 10,000 strong simply disappeared overnight. Why? Because hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, that is the power of when you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll take care of an entire army and you don't even have to unsheathe your sword. But as long as you show that tawakkul, as long as you recognize, oh Allah, you will deal with it, you will take care of it. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And of course, I have to add here as well, that you only do this after you have done everything in your power. The Sahaba built the trench. The Sahaba armed themselves. The Sahaba were ready for battle if need be. They didn't just sit in their houses and say, Allah will take care. You do everything you can physically, and then you say, the rest is up to you, oh Allah. And really, oh Allah, I only need you. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And also we have a beautiful incident of Aisha radiallahu anha as well. In the story of the slander, the famous story of the slander that took place, that when she heard that this slander was happening, what was the one word that comes to her mouth? The one phrase that comes to her mouth? Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Imagine Aisha, the young wife, she's a young lady at the time. She knows enough that the one phrase that comes to her mind, they have spoken about me in this manner. What was the one phrase that immediately came to her mind? Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah will take care of me. And what a beautiful protector He is. And what happened? What happened? To protect Aisha, Allah revealed over 20 verses of the Holy Quran that we recite to this day. And Aisha said, I never thought that I was that significant that Allah would reveal Quran about me. This is what Aisha said. Who am I? She was thinking. Of course she is Ummahat al-Mu'minin. Of course she is worthy. But she is in her modesty and humility saying, who am I that Allah will reveal Quran about me to be recited to the Day of Judgment? But this is what happens when you put your trust in Allah. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. When it comes from your heart, when you assign Allah Azza wa Jal to take care of your deeds, then this is what is going to happen. Allah will even reveal Quran for you, as He did for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this is the first dua. Let us memorize it. Let us use it. And the second dua, which is also used at times of distress, at times of difficulty. I wanted both these duas to be, because we go through all types of difficulties. Every one of us, life is nothing but difficulty and one tragedy after another. This is the reality of life. So the second dua as well is a beautiful dua, and it is the dua of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. As we all know, the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, he left his city without getting permission from Allah to leave. And this was a sin for the Prophets. The Prophets cannot leave the city until Allah tells them. The Prophet Yunus gave up. He said, my people are bad, they're not accepting, khalas, let me just go. And it wasn't appropriate for the Prophet to do this. And so what happened, as we know, that he went onto the ship, and the people of the ship, they said, somebody has bad luck here, or somebody is bringing this punishment. Who must it be? They drew lots, and it came to Yunus, and there was a thunderstorm going. It was the middle of the night. They said, you're the one causing this omen. And of course, we don't believe in omens. These were not Muslims that were doing this. Nonetheless, they said, you're the cause of this bad luck. We need to get rid of you. And so, in the middle of a dark and stormy night, in the middle of the ocean, when the thunder is going and the rain is pouring, complete darkness, they pick Yunus alayhi salam and they fling him over the ocean. Just think about that. If any of you have ever been in the middle of the seas, how terrifying it is, even on a beautiful day, if you fall into that ocean. Imagine in the middle of the night, when the waves are coming and the thunder and the rain, and they throw him into the middle of that darkness, and he plunges and plunges and plunges. And as you all know, then Allah Azza wa Jal causes a fish, a whale, to swallow him. And that's why the Quran calls him Dhun-Noon, Dhan-Noon. A noon in the Quran here means whale, the one of the whale. So Yunus is called the companion of the whale. And the whale takes him deep, deep, deep down the depths of the sea. Imagine, brothers and sisters, wallahi, these are stories that we know happen. It's in the Quran. We believe in them. Imagine being the Prophet Yunus. Imagine that claustrophobia, that stench, not able to breathe, completely blind in the depths of the ocean. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, what did he do? He realized he made a mistake. He realized he made a mistake. So what? Allah says, وَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He called out in the depths of the darkness. Wallahi, how much darkness was there? The darkness of the night, the darkness of the depths of the ocean, the darkness of the inner chambers of the whale, darkness over darkness over darkness, complete and pitch darkness. Can you imagine the terror, the fear that any one of us might have had? We would have died simply of a heart attack. We would have died of fear. But Yunus alayhi salam, he realized, I need Allah Azza wa Jal. And so what did he do? وَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. From the depths of the ocean, he calls out, لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ. Oh Allah, there is nobody worthy of being praised, worthy of being worshipped, worthy of being glorified other than you. سُبْحَانَكَ. Exalted are you above anything. Meaning what? Some people who don't have strong faith, they blame Allah for their calamities and tragedies. They say, this is because of Allah. This is because of God. Why is God punishing us? Why is God doing this to me? And this is a common phrase we hear. I'm a good person. Why is God doing this to me? La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. We do not speak like this. We do not accuse Allah of any injustice or evil. So subhanaka here means, exalted are you, O Allah. You are only worthy of praise. You are not worthy of any criticism. Subhanak, exalted are you. Subhanaka means we negate anything negative. It's a double negative. We negate anything negative. Alhamdulillah, we praise for a positive. Alhamdulillah is Allah's perfection. Subhanallah is the negation of Allah's imperfection. Alhamdulillah is Allah's perfection. Allah is worthy of being praised because of His names and attributes, because of who He is. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal is we negate any negative. So for example, when Allah says, Allah has not taken a son, subhanahu, He should be negated from having a son. Subhanahu, He's too exalted to have a son. Too holy to have a son. Allah says, they took false gods besides Him. Subhanahu, all glory be to Him. He doesn't deserve false gods being ascribed to Him. So subhanaka here implies, O Allah, You are not worthy of any criticism. You're only worthy of worship. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I was the one who made a mistake. I was the one who fell into a sin. I was the one who transgressed. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, when a person says this phrase, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, he affirms for himself that I have fallen short. It was my mistake and error. And if this is the Prophet Yunus saying he made a mistake, then where do we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a Prophet of Allah is saying, I made a mistake, it was my mistake, what is the mistake here? Of course, all of us make mistakes. We fall into sins. We fall into things that are haram. We don't do the wajibat. We don't thank Allah as much as we should thank Him. All of this is a type of dhulm. And so he affirmed Allah's perfection. He sought Allah's forgiveness and he acknowledged his own mistakes. So he combined between tawheed, la ilaha illallah, and negating anything negative, subhanak, and then affirming or describing imperfection to himself. And this is the perfection of repentance. You say, Allah, You are perfect, I am imperfect. You are holy, I am sinful. You are the ilah and the God, and I am the marbub and the abd. I am the one who is under Your control. So when you affirm Allah's perfection and your own imperfection, you are being humble. And humility is the essence of worship. Humility is the essence of worship. Like we bow our heads down in sajda, why? We take our most noble organ, our most respected part of the body, and that is the head, and we lower it into the dirt. Oh Allah, You are worthy of this humility. You are worthy of this subservience. You are worthy of this ibadah. And that will raise our ranks in this world and the next. So when we say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, we are affirming Allah is perfect. And we are acknowledging, I am imperfect. And when we do this, Allah shows His perfection to us. The opposite of this is Iblis. The opposite of this is Iblis, who is too arrogant to recognize. And he says, I am better. I am the one who deserves this. This is Iblis. When Adam was, he was told to prostrate to Adam, what did he say? I am the one. So the opposite of this is arrogance. And when you're arrogant, you will not get anything. When you're humble in front of Allah, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. And therefore, what happened with Yunus alayhi salam? From the depths of the darkness, the whale comes all the way to the top. At the crack of dawn, at the break of dawn, the sun is shining now. And the whale goes all the way to the shore and spits him out onto the shore. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We were the ones who saved him from his distress. And then, listen to this phrase and memorize it, brothers and sisters. It is one of the most optimistic phrases in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And in this manner, when the mu'min says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, in this manner, we shall save all of those who are in distress. All of those who believe, all of those who turn to me, we will save all of them. So this dua is said whenever you are distressed. Yunus was distressed because of the problems of the whale, the problems of the... We are distressed because of other problems, much less trivial than Yunus, but nonetheless, they are big for us. Family problems, financial problems, our boss is giving us an attitude, we're worried about our job, our family issues. These are our dhulumat. These are our darknesses. So when we are surrounded by these darknesses, what do we say? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This should be our dua all the time. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad that the dua of Dhunnun, meaning the dua of the one of the whale, that he cried out with when he was in the stomach of the whale was La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And then our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no Muslim ever says this dua except that Allah will answer him. No Muslim ever says this dua except that Allah will answer him. So these are the two du'as, brothers and sisters. Memorize them. Make them a daily part of your rituals. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa yakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we are all painfully aware of the tragedy that took place 2 days ago. And it is difficult to talk about this tragedy without emotions rising. We are all painfully aware of the murder of three of our young, innocent men and women. And so much can be said, but wallahi, I just want to mention a few simple points that we can all benefit from. First and foremost, tragedies and harms and problems are indeed a part of this life. And Allah tests us with various trials and tribulations. And the parents of those young men and women have been tested in a manner that we can only begin to imagine. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their affairs easy for them. But as we look at this tragedy, there's no doubt that we see as well the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we look at this tragedy, it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people to be role models even in their death. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carved out a life for them that is a life that we can only be jealous of, even though they are half or one third of our age. That the good that they have done, and the khair and the barakah that has come from their lives, and the love that the community had for them while they were still alive, much less when they are dead, it speaks volumes about their ikhlas and their taqwa and their iman. نَحْسِبُهُمْ كَذَلِكَ وَنَرَزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. It speaks volumes of their real sincerity. The fact of the matter, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Allah chose them because they were so righteous, inshallah. And Allah blessed their families because Allah wanted to raise their ranks in this world and in the next. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah ta'ala idha ahabba qawman ibtalahum," that when Allah loves a person, He tests them. So this family has been tested. Both of the families have been tested. The communities have been tested. And all of us, we are simply witnessing. We are not being tested the way they have been tested. We're simply looking on and spectators to what is going on. But subhanAllah, the galvanization of the American Muslim community. This could have been any one of us. This could have been any one of our children. We all are worried about the future of our community in this land. We're worried about the rhetoric that people are saying. Yes, we do not know exactly what happened in this particular case, but still, it seems to be what it seems to be. Very clear to us. And regardless of the specifics, for sure, the rhetoric that is we are hearing from many segments of this society are very dangerous. And perhaps incidents like these Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal is using them to really be martyrs, shaheed, so that the people realize that we cannot continue with this rhetoric and this spiteful speech. And subhanAllah, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the things that really amazed me was that I don't know the family personally, but many of my friends are personal family friends of this couple. We also had some of our members here in Memphis go to attend the janazah as well. And we have seen their interviews online. It is amazing the amount of sabr and the amount of patience that is demonstrated from this family. And I wonder, when I look at this, where did that tarbiyah, where did that training come from? That a young lady, a young man, the brothers and sisters, they have so much fortitude, so much courage, so much iman, that the brother says on the TV interview that don't think that we are sad. He is speaking to MSNBC, a non-Muslim interview. Says, don't think we are sad. We are happy. We are rejoicing that our Lord has chosen my family to become martyrs. What type of iman is this? Where a young man, this iman is coming out from him. And one wonders, subhanAllah, he's born and raised in this land. What has happened in his life that his iman is so strong? And if this is his case, how about the boy and the girl and the sister? How about the three of them? SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, these three, let their tragedy not be in vain. Let us do a number of things. First and foremost, most importantly right now, make dua for them and for their fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant them the peace and the sakina. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept their shahada. May Allah Azza wa Jal give sabr and tawfiq and iman to the family members of those that are left behind. This is the first thing we need to do. Make dua for them. Secondly, we need to support their legacies, and there's many fundraising going on, and this is not the time to get into that, but their families, this young man, Dhiya, he was training, as you know, to become a dentist, and he was going to go to Syria in the refugee camps. He had gone last year with his fiance. He had gone last year. They had helped the refugees and orphans with his wife. Now they were going to go again, and they were going to get 10 doctors. They're going to sponsor 10 doctors to go. I mean, wallahi, you think about this, a 21-year-old man, 21 years old. Most of us have not gone and volunteered in a refugee camp. Most of us have not spent anything of this nature. And here is a man, he's about to get married, and he wants to save up to get married, and he spends that money to go help refugees. Wallahi, where do these people like this come from? Wallahi, this person, it's as if Allah Azza wa Jal made his life to become a role model for us, and then took it so that he is a leader even in death as he was a leader in life. Few people can claim this. Few people can claim to become leaders even in death. And it is quite clear that this was one of those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. So the second thing we can do is to support their legacy. And the third thing is to ask ourselves, why did Allah choose them? And how did they get to this respect and legacy? The outpouring of love and emotion. This was perhaps the largest janazah, or one of the largest janazahs that America has seen. 7,000 people overnight from around the country are coming in. Becomes a mainstream news media event. CNN and MSNBC are reporting the janazah just because of the numbers. 7,000 people. Why? Why? This is what happens when you dedicate your life to Allah. We see the results in this world before the next. This is the love written for this world. What do you think in the next world will be waiting for them? If this much respect in this world, and they're barely a fraction of my age and your age, think, then what about in the next life? So we need to follow that legacy and understand the best way to gain Allah Azza wa Jalla's blessing is to be on His path, to be as loving, as caring, as sincere, as merciful, as dedicated to these positive causes. This is what we need to do. And there is no doubt, as I said, that it is because of that, inshaAllah ta'ala, that so much love. The fact of the matter, anybody, this could have happened to anybody. It could have happened to people unknown, never seen in the masjid. And the reaction would not have been except a fraction of what it is. But Allah chose specific people. And Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to demonstrate to us and to the rest of the people, this is the reality. So we need to learn from that. And we need to also start our own legacies. Will I and you get even a fraction of that legacy that they already have for their lives? Will we be able to leave behind the same amount of love, the same amount of respect and honor, the same amount of Allah's blessings in the next life? This is something we all need to think about. And then lastly, my dear brothers and sisters, indeed, we don't know exactly why this tragedy took place yet. We're still finding out. Nonetheless, we all need to be extra vigilant and monitor our situation. There has been a number of incidents going on. A girl was followed to her car in one city and threatened by a gun, and there is a fire in one mosque. We don't know exactly the details yet, so I don't want to mention anything, but it might have been an arson somewhere else in this country. Things are changing, and there's only one way, really, that we are going to have the narrative back to the way it was, and that is if each and every one of us stands up against prejudice and lives the lives of the Prophet Muhammad's Sunnah, following his Sunnah. When the people know who we are and respect us, we don't have the luxury of shoving our heads in the sand anymore. We don't have the luxury of changing our names and pretending we're not Muslim. Each and every one of us, these people were killed in their houses. The man entered the door and shot them execution style in the head, in their houses. We don't have the luxury of running away. We need to stand up and understand. We need to earn respect, earn the love of the people around us. There are campaigns to vilify us, to smear us. We need to do the opposite. We cannot fight fire with fire over here. We have to demonstrate the rahmah, the mercy of Islam, the love, the compassion of Islam. We need to do like those three that even mainstream news media are talking about how good they were, how righteous they were. People that typically smear Islam, when it came to these three, even they could not smear them. What does that demonstrate? You want to win over the love and the respect? You need to live the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be kind and merciful. Go and help the orphans, help the Syrian refugees. Do something in your locality so that the people understand this is who we are. And slowly but surely, when we start changing this message, when the rhetoric cannot face our actions, actions speak louder than words, then inshaAllah ta'ala, this will abate and die down. I am optimistic inshallah, but we don't want these deaths to be in vain. And let us all learn a lesson that death is around the corner. These three, the man got married 6 weeks ago, brothers and sisters, 6 weeks ago. Can you imagine? There's still memorabilia of the weddings in their houses. All of the stuff and the still there. Can you imagine? The sister said, we just celebrated their wedding and now we're doing their funeral. This is the reality of life. Can anybody here guarantee when they will die? How long they will live? These three, mashallah, tabarakallah, they prepared. They didn't think they're going to come this soon, but they prepared and Allah blessed them. So let each and every one of us also prepare for that day. It will come to us inevitably. Let us prepare for that day and let us ask ourselves, what is the legacy that I have left behind and what is the legacy you have left behind before the angel of death comes? Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hadhi yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم أمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.